northeastern state of Assam has been under the fury of flood. What is the situation on ground? Let's listen to our northeast correspondent Sumir Karmakar. Refer timestamp in the show notes to skip to Sumir's interaction with Dr. Chiranjeev Kokoti, a doctor in Guwahati who leads an NGO, Northeast Society for the Promotion of the Youth and Masses. Hi Sumir, welcome to DH Radio.
Hi Amir.
Sumir, my first question to you would be, when did Assam start facing issues from floods?
Okay, this year Assam faced flood in May, from May onwards basically. As we speak today, even 15 districts are still affected by flood. And more than 1 lakh people are still affected. Mm-hmm. According to the Assam State Disaster Management Authority, 270 villages are still inundated. And 1.43 lakh people are still affected. And 3,105 people are still in relief camp even today. This year, what happened actually, you know, flood was consistent. It started in May and it is still on. So impact this year was more compared to in the past. Mm-hmm. So this is the scenario. This year, overall, 56 lakh people have been affected, in which is about 20% of Assam's population. 33 districts, and out of the 33 districts, 30 districts were affected. And 110 people have died so far in flood. So this is the scenario as of today.
Why is this flood fury every year in Assam? Like, what is the reason behind this flood, Sumir?
Yes, you are right. Assam faces flood, serious flood almost every year. There are several reasons. The first reason is the river Brahmaputra. As you know, the Brahmaputra is one of the biggest rivers in the world. Okay, it flows from the Himalayan range and it enters India through Tibet in China. Okay, first it enters Arunachal Pradesh. Arunachal Pradesh is a hilly state. It enters through Arunachal Pradesh, then it enters Assam. So what happens in Tibet and in Arunachal Pradesh, it's hills. So the slope of the river is very steep. So, but as soon as it enters India and crosses Arunachal Pradesh, the river suddenly becomes flat. So the flow of the water is huge. Suddenly, impact of the water becomes very serious. This is one reason. The second reason is, you know, in 1950, Assam witnessed a massive earthquake. It was more than 8 in Richter scale. So there was a huge devastation by the earthquake. And impact of that earthquake was that the river bed, the bed of the Brahmaputra, it suddenly become flat. Okay, the bed was raised. Basically, the bed of the river came up. Because of that, water retention capacity of the Brahmaputra reduced drastically. That was the impact of the earthquake. And in Assam, we have about 35 major tributaries of the Brahmaputra. Tributaries are the small rivers of the Brahmaputra river system. So this bed of these small rivers were also raised. Ultimately, water retention capacity of all the rivers in Assam was reduced. As a result, we are witnessing very serious flood almost every year. So this is one reason. Another reason, third reason is because of the large-scale deforestation. Because of cutting of the hills, the trees on the hills, when there is a rain, this loose soil comes into the rivers very fast. As this loose soil comes into the river, sedimentation blocks the bed of the river. Okay, so this sedimentation, because of this high volume of sedimentation, water retention capacity of the rivers is again becoming very low. So these are the main reasons of serious flood in Assam almost every year. In every year, Assam, more than 100 people dies on an average. On an average, and more than 30, 40 lakh people are affected. And more than 2 lakh, 3 lakh people becomes homeless every year. And there is a this every annual flood causes a huge damage to the infrastructure. School buildings are washed away, eroded, and crops are destroyed. Lakhs of acres of crops are destroyed. The livestock are killed. So there is a bridges, culverts, embankments. All these things are gets devastated. So these are the reasons why we face serious flood almost every year.
And since it's an every year phenomenon, right? So what is the government doing about it? Have they taken any measures, or are there any what have they done?
Yes, government basically talks about floods when there is a flood in Assam. Okay, what we have seen in the past few years, government talks about the flood when there is flood. When there is no flood, I mean during the winter season, we don't hear much about what the government should do, what government will do about flood. Okay, so what government is doing is basically some not very big projects. So far, we have not seen very big projects, very comprehensive projects to solve the flood problem. Government basically remains busy in rescue relief operation, and once the flood is over, they tries to repair the damages caused to the roads, bridges, and all. So we have not seen any comprehensive project. What the experts have been telling is that we need a big projects, and for that, state government is not capable because it needs huge funding and international expertise, and for that we need the help of the center. Center definitely has been telling that it will solve the Assam problem, but we have not seen any major project from the center's end. As our readers must be aware that in 2017, Prime Minister Narendra Modi came to Assam and he announced many things. He even announced a package for studying the entire river system of the Brahmaputra and find out a solution. But even today, it is 2020, 3 years, almost 3 years have passed, but we have not seen much progress on that project. So basically what the government is doing is short-term solutions. We still don't have a long-term and comprehensive project to address the problem of flood in Assam.
We also know that we've seen this sort of viral videos going around that, you know, the rhinoceros have been, you know, finding higher ground, and, you know, many of them have been killed also. So can you tell us how many animals were killed, and you shed some statistics there? Because Kaziranga is like a major hub in, I mean, it's a big tourist hub in Assam. So
true. Yeah, these wild animals also basically are affected. Particularly in Kaziranga National Park. As you are aware, Kaziranga is the world's biggest habitat for one-horned rhinos. Kaziranga is a 434 square kilometer park, and it has more than 2,400 rhinos, which is highest in the world. And Kaziranga is a UNESCO World Heritage Site since 1985, and it is one of the biggest tourist attractions. But annual flood causes huge damage to this park. Animals are killed every year. This year also, 153 animals have died, of which 12 were rhinos. 12 rhinos have died already. More than 50 were hog bears, 8 wild bear, wild buffalo, 4 wild buffaloes have also died. So 153 animals have died, and 50% of the park is still underwater. So the death toll of the animals may further go up. This is the scenario. But the forest officials, they have been saying that they are trying very hard to rescue animals and reduce the animal deaths. This year, they have rescued 172 animals, including rhinos, baby rhinos. We have seen in the 2-3 days back, we have seen one baby rhino, 3-4 days old baby rhino was rescued from the water. So this is the scenario. This happens almost every year. Rhinos are killed. Rhinos die in the flood water. And another problem is during the flood, when the entire Kaziranga is flooded, animals runs for highlands. So the nearest highlands is the highway, NH37, National Highway 37,
Mm-hmm.
which connects Guwahati with Upper Assam districts, Eastern Assam districts. So what happens is animals, when they rush to this highway and the Karbi Anglong Hills, there is a hill on the parallel to this highway. So these animals rush to this Karbi Anglong Hills. When they try to cross the this highway, many animals die while being hit by the vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So this year also 21 animals have died, mostly hog deers. 20 hog deers have died because of car accidents.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the scenario in Kaziranga. Yes.
And also tigers also, you know, they foray into people's habitats, and that also is an issue, right?
Yes, yes. This year there are three tiger straying incidents in Kaziranga. One tiger, as you know, one tiger had taken shelter in a home in a village which is situated close to the Kaziranga National Park, and forest officials had to struggle for more than 24 hours to chase these tigers back into the Kaziranga National Park. Two more tigers, Royal Bengal tigers, also had strayed out of the park, and these forest officials and park officials are telling us that managing the animals during flood, particularly the tigers, straying of the tigers, is a big challenge for them.
And now the flood has come at the time of the pandemic. So how are people dealing with it, and how is the administration dealing with it, Sumir?
Yes, this is a huge problem for Assam, because we face a flood almost every year. But this year it was more challenging because we are having the flood in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic. As you know, coronavirus has affected all the states in India and the rest of the world also. So the biggest problem we are facing in Assam is maintaining social distance in the flood relief camps.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, more than 1.5 lakh people had taken shelter in relief camps this year.
Mm-hmm.
So maintaining the social distancing is a problem. Although the state government, Assam government, has formulated a standard operating procedure on how to maintain social distancing inside the relief camps, but what the officials are telling us is that practically it is very tough when large number of people, flood affected people, comes to the relief camps and they stays in a small relief camps. But officials are trying very hard to ensure that social distancing norms are maintained and other hygienic preventive measures are taken. So this is the scenario. And as on today, Assam, the COVID-19 positive cases has reached 50,445, out of which 15,900 are still active cases. And 121 people have died so far.
Now that the flood is there, there's also chances of, you know, other infections. What about that, Sumir, like dengue and, you know, other...
Yes, so far we have not received any report about dengue or malaria. Number is very less, dengue and malaria, but we have reported Japanese encephalitis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Japanese encephalitis, as you know, Assam reports Japanese encephalitis almost every year, like Uttar Pradesh, Bihar. This year also, but the death toll this year so far is about 40 people have died because of Japanese encephalitis in the middle of the flood and coronavirus pandemic. Yes.
And talking about the pandemic, so can you chart us how you know coronavirus reached Assam, like as a final question before we sign up?
Okay. Coronavirus, as you know, the number of cases was less in Assam compared to rest of India, rest of the country. As you, if you remember, till March 31st, we didn't have a single coronavirus cases. The reason is Assam had declared the lockdown a little early than the nationwide lockdown. And several measures are taken, like the borders are closed quickly. So only because of that, till 31st of March, we didn't have a case. Assam reported the first COVID-19 positive case on 31st of March. And but after that, the number of cases started increasing. The main reason is that when large number of people from Assam, those who have been working in rest of the country, particularly in South Indian states like Kerala, Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, when these people started coming back and the government also started special trains to bring them back, suddenly the number of cases started increasing. Initially, the positive cases were in the quarantine centers only, but in July, we witnessed several cases among the communities, particularly in the capital city, Guwahati, where the government admitted that there was a community level spread of the coronavirus. So the number of cases have increased to 50,415 as on today. Even today, we are witnessing about 1,500 to 2,000 cases almost every day, of which about 500 in Guwahati itself.
All right, Sumir, thank you for talking to DS Radio.
Thank
it was
you.
A great insight.
Thanks. Thanks.
So, dear listeners, we are now joined by Dr. Chiranjeev Kakuti, who is a doctor based in Guwahati and who leads an NGO called Naughty Society for the Promotion of Youth and Masses. So, welcome to DS Podcast, Dr. Kakuti.
Hi. Yeah.
Since this is regarding the serious flood Assam is facing this year, so this year Assam is facing the flood in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic. So since you are visiting the affected areas and your team members are on the ground, so just give us an idea about the situation in Assam at present.
Right, Sumir, this time, as you know, that 31 districts of Assam have been affected by flood. And that means about 31 lakh population of Assam, which is approximately 14 lakh of children. Flood in Assam is not new.
Yes.
What is new is the juxtaposition of COVID-19 and flood. However, let us be very clear about one thing, that one is not serious than the other. Both are serious. Both are having a great impact on the lives of people. We already have 100 deaths due to COVID-19, 100 deaths due to flood, and more importantly, about 75 deaths due to Japanese encephalitis and acute encephalitic syndrome. Now, having said that, we need to be mindful of four broad issues. Number one is the livelihood issues. Because of the lockdown, whatever savings people had got exhausted in the last 3 months. And the poor people do not have savings to last them for 3 months. Maybe about 2 months is what they average save for. And now when we have this flood, if you had invested this money for flood conditions for your food and for your clothing and for your medical care, that could have been a different thing. But the source of income has been stopped because of COVID. And this is having a direct impact on the health. If you go to the government setting or even the private setting, the priority is on COVID. So everything is now COVID-centric, as a result of which other health needs have been left on a second or a third priority. And Sumir, what I am really concerned is nutrition deficiency. Somehow you may be getting rice, somehow you may be getting potatoes, but we need lots of micronutrients, especially for the children, and especially those children under 5 years, and especially the children between the age of 10 and 11 years when they have a good start. And this lack of purchasing capacity of the micronutrient containing food will have some sort of an impact. It's true that the skeleton health system is going on. The routine immunization, which has stopped at some point of time, has restarted again. But to get into the full momentum will take some time. The other issue is domestic violence. And this domestic violence is an act of desperation. Let us not talk about patriarchy right now. Let us now talk about desperation. Why I'm talking about what? Why I'm asking you not to talk about patriarchy is because not only it's the women or the female members of the household who are being beaten or who are being abused, it's also children who are being abused. And this is because of shared desperation at home of the parents. And last but not the least is education. When we talk about education, schools are closed because of COVID-19. And there was something called online teaching. Whether I like online teaching or I don't like online teaching is a different matter altogether. But now, even those teachers who were imparting online coaching or online lessons, they are also affected by flood. And because of this flood, they are in such areas where the networks are very poor. How do they really reach the children? If it was flood, it could have been a different matter altogether. Flood would have come, flood would have gone in about 3 weeks' time. But COVID has been here for the past nearly 5 months now. So this is the challenge which the people of Assam are facing because of this dual challenge of COVID-19 and flood.
So, sir, as we speak today, even more than 30,000 people are still in the relief camps.
Yes.
In different places. So just tell me how difficult it is to, you know, manage the relief camps in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic.
Sumir, I have always maintained that relief camps are actually just tip of the iceberg. We have about 30 lakh people who are affected by flood. They have issues. And we have 30,000 people who are in the camp. The question is, are the social distancing norms possible to be followed in the camps? I don't think it is really possible. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying everyone will be infected, but you are increasing their vulnerability to SARS-CoV-2 infection meaningful. That's number one. Number two is, as usual, the water and sanitation deficiencies. This is a natural phenomenon. If it was COVID and you were in a quarantine camp, the facilities would have been different. Now you are flood affected, you are in a makeshift camp, you have to maintain your social distancing, you have to maintain this and you have to maintain that. On top of it is the whole issue of water and sanitation. That is a big, big question mark which we are facing. The plus point which we are having is that in Assam, we have started something called the child-friendly space. That is to keep the children occupied and safe when they are in camp. But there are lots of other children who are not in the camp but are equally vulnerable to various sorts of abuse and violence.
Right. And one more thing is that, you know, sir, Assam government had formulated some guidelines to be followed in the flood relief camps. Do you think these guidelines are really working on the ground?
I will say yes and no. I will say both yes and no, because yes, I will say that. Well, when there is a flood and you have brought in people from their houses to the relief camps, it is the state's responsibility to ensure that they are getting whatever is their requirement. It is not a charity which the state is doing. It is a responsibility which the state is discharging. So by and large, given various limitations and challenges, the state is trying to do it. But my concern is not about the hunger needs. My concern is about the nutrition needs. Have we really met the nutrition need of the children? Rice and potatoes and some amount of dal is fine, but those do not necessarily meet the nutrition, especially the micronutritional needs of those children and pregnant women. These are very important, not to forget the geriatric age group who have specific micronutrient needs. But having said that, that Assam has started the child-friendly space in the relief camp is a very positive sign. But I hope the disaster management manual and the provisions thereof are revised to meet the emerging realities and emerging requirements of the population.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Kakoti, for speaking to us. Thanks a lot.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure.
That's all in today's episode. Tune in this evening on a news update podcast from the newsroom to catch all the exciting developments of the day and to get the news while it's still budding. For latest news and updates, log on to www.deccanherald.com. Check out our e-paper at www.deccanheraldepaper.com. To read news on the go, sign up to our Telegram channel t.me/deccanheraldnews. Keep up with the news from your interested sphere by downloading the all-new Deccan Herald app, in which you can personalize, have quick glance at news shots, check highlights, and even listen too. You can get it from Google Play Store and Apple App Store, and you can find the links to the same in the description.